Hello, this is Planet Podcast, and I'm Dav Priest. Late last year, I went to a teaser event for the North Wales International Poetry Festival, which also kind of doubled up as a Poetry Wales event, where Zoe Scolding was leading a range of poets doing performances and also talking a little bit about a special guest's work, Jean Portant, who came all the way over from Paris, and he was doing a French reading while Zoe herself was doing the English translation. It was a fascinating evening, and I managed to grab a quick chat with Zoe and Jean, as well as Catherine Stansfield, who was also a poet performing on that evening. I hope you enjoy. Sorry for the little bit of background noise, but I'm sure you'll be able to enjoy it nevertheless. Well, Catherine, you've just spoke or performed at this warm-up event for the North Wales Poetry Festival. What did it feel like doing a reading?
It was really great, actually. I've not read in this space before. We're in the Aberystwyth Town Library, which is really beautiful. And it was interesting to pick poems to read alongside a visiting poet from Luxembourg, Jean Portant. I was reading poems about kind of language and identity and place and those kinds of things. So it was exciting to read them in the context of his performance.
Yeah, there's so many poets and so many poems, but delivered kind of matter-of-factly. Just trying to tease out an idea sometimes from somebody, just like a quick notion. For you, I'm going to pose the question, when you've written a poem and then you start performing it, does the meaning ever change for you?
No, I don't think it does, actually. I feel I should say yes in some deep, meaningful way, but it doesn't. I mean, I get a better sense of sound, I suppose, and rhythm, and then I will sometimes go back and actually re-edit because I'm reading them in a way that I haven't written them down. So, and the reading is always the better way. So sometimes I do that. And people come up afterwards and say, oh, I thought this poem was great because it's all about X. And I say, no, it's about Y. But that's okay. That's quite fun. But it doesn't shift for me.
Vague as ever from a poet. I'm shocked.
Sorry.
But you're going to read a quick poem for us now. I think it's coming from, it's a collection coming up next year by Seren. What's it called again, sorry?
It's called Playing House.
Playing House, lovely. Well, take it away.
Okay. So this poem is called The Woman on My National Library of Wales Library Card. Her mouth says it all. Slack as a jellyfish. They made her stand against the wall, with no time to pose or comb the seagulls from her hair, no time to dig her smile from pockets of sand. The sea fret foaming at her hems thickened once inside the dusty air that seeps from books. See, she's ghosting under the card's laminated skin, almost gone. She fogged the inquiry desk too. The attendant lost his hands in the mist, hence the wonky shot. She's looking at a horizon beyond the frame. I can't meet her salt stiff eye, which asks for silence from the waves, as if such a gift could be given. She doesn't get out much now for fear of mackerel following her home and wheezing to death in the road, of mullet in the bath again. Her doorstep is crunchy with limpets. Can I take her something back? She likes romance, set far inland.
Catherine, thank you very much. I'm with Zoe Scolding and with Jean Portant, who's come quite a long way from Paris to read for us in Aberystwyth Library. What brings you here, just firstly?
A book. It's a book that brings me here.
What's the book?
Well, a book that traveled, a book that came from one language, let's say French, but it's not really French, and then traveled into English, and so now it's in this area, and it will be going around.
It's traveled into English via the words and work of Zoe Scolding. Why did you translate this particular book?
When I first encountered Jean's poetry, I suppose I was very struck by its themes, which were ones that I'd been interested in for a really long time, to do with, I suppose, collapsing architecture, disturbance to language, and movement and travel. And so I immediately, I suppose, and perhaps ironically, felt at home in this poetry that was moving a lot between places and making place itself actually feel quite unstable. And it was also very exciting for me to come across poetry in French that was written by somebody who isn't French, because I'd been interested in French poetry for a long time, but often found it rather austere, perhaps rather forbidding. And here was somebody from Luxembourg, with Italian as his mother tongue, writing in French and writing in a kind of broken French. And as my French was a lot more broken and kind of struggling, it was a really exciting process to kind of relearn the language while translating this book.
Well, it was a really interesting talk, Jean, that you did just after you did the reading. I should say that, Jean, you delivered in the original French, and then Zoe, you followed up with your English translations. I think there was a fascinating evening, actually, based on that idea. Jean, you mentioned this idea of whale French, and so you just touched on it just now. I wonder if you would expand on that. It'd be very interesting, especially in Wales, being a bilingual country.
Yeah, Wales without the H, and my whale has got an yes. H. My mother tongue is Italian, is a real mother tongue, that means mother tongue, so it's a spoken language. I was born and grown up in Luxembourg, and in school there was no Italian possibility of tongue inside, language inside the school, so I learned German and French in school, and that's a very good thing. But for then, when I decided to get a writer, I had to decide which language he used, and I didn't know. Italian was not possible because I didn't learn to write it. So I decided to take the one who is the closest, and that's French. But then I realized that it's not me, so I thought of this whale. I was living in Cuba, and there was the sea, and then came a memory of a whale, a real whale, who came to Luxembourg in 1953. I was 3 years old, as a tourist attraction. So, and this whale was in my memory, and then suddenly I told him, I said, "But you are this whale, and your language is this whale. So please don't write in English." That's what I told him. "You can't write into Italian. Take Italian and put it inside of the French, like the whale has got a lung inside of itself. This lung is memory of his former life on Earth. And my tongue is memory of my former life in Italy." So I could do this thing. There was in Cuba one moment which was very important. As you know, there are many black people in Cuba. They are slaves. They came as slaves. And they were forbidden to practice their own religion, the Yoruba religion. So what did they do? They were forced to be Catholics. So they chose several saints and put their own divinities inside of them. For instance, Santa Barbara is Chango. So when they are praying with Santa Barbara, the Catholics say, "Oh, wonderful, now they are in our religion." No, they are praying another religion, their own. So they did the same thing. So, and that all these moments gave me my language.
Well, that's a fascinating sort of insight there into maybe a tiny bit of basic idea of your mind, because we spoke briefly earlier. You mentioned that you speak lots of languages. What do you think are the benefits, particularly, of translating into one language, maybe over another? In this instance, your French into Zoe's English.
I think that one language doesn't exist. If you take English, well, that's the encounter of Latin, French somewhere, and German, and then perhaps also the local words which are inside of it. So every language is anyway a whale. It's a nomadic thing. No word comes from only from one part. It comes from very far away and will go, I hope, very far away. So take my whale language and put it into English. It's not so amazing because, well, English is also a whale language with Germanic and Latin elements inside of it.
From a performance perspective, I noticed that you were sort of circling your hand as you spoke, maybe conducting yourself in a way. Are you trying to find a percussion? Are you trying to find a beat in your written language that you're bringing out in your oral language?
Well, I didn't notice that because that comes, that's the body. It doesn't ask me. So it does it. I noticed it in the meantime, but I think that in every writing, in every poetry, there is music, there is rhythm, and so this rhythm is part of our own body. I think that everyone, every poet has a breeze, so I breathe in a certain way, and this breathing is doing my rhythm.
Well, that's fascinating stuff, actually. I really enjoyed the evening. I know that you're both very, very busy, so I wonder if you'd be kind enough, therefore, to give us a reading from this evening.
Well, this is a poem from the section In Reality that gives the title of the book, and it is, let's say, an collective autobiographical poem. Un beau jour de 50, comme tous ceux de ma génération, je suis tombé dans la parenthèse. Ceux qui avant tuaient industriellement étaient encore là, je veux dire, il y a eu un moment dans ma vie où, côtoyé par des tueurs aînés, j'ai continué à croire à l'innocence génétique. Puis on s'est mis à marcher sur la lune sans que cela modifie les axes élémentaires du système. Je veux dire, personne n'a vu que ces petits pas-là ne faisaient pas l'éloge de l'ombre, mais sortaient comme d'une fumée familière. Quelqu'un s'est alors mis à recompter les étoiles et parvenu à la tienne, plus brillante que jamais, il a dit ce qu'on dit toujours en pareille situation. Je veux dire, si après les charniers la nostalgie est encore possible, ce n'est pas une parenthèse lunaire qui arrêtera la poésie. Je veux dire, ne faudrait-il pas maintenant qu'un mur s'écroule?
One fine day of 1950, like all those of my generation, I fell into parentheses. Those who'd been killing industrially were still at large. I mean, there was a moment in my life where, surrounded by older killers, I continued to believe in genetic innocence. Then they started walking on the moon without this altering the elementary axes of the system. I mean, no one saw that those small steps came not in praise of shadow, but emerged as if from familiar smoke. Someone then started recounting the stars, and coming to yours brighter than ever, he said what everyone says in such situations. I mean, if nostalgia is still possible after the killing fields, then no lunar parenthesis is going to stop poetry. I mean, wouldn't a wall now have to collapse?
That's fantastic, Zoe. Jean, thank you very much. Diolch yn fawr. Merci bien. How many others do we know?
Grazie.
Anyway, thank you so much. I know you're going to have some delicious food now, please.